Hey everyone, welcome to chapel. If you'd join me in prayer. Dear Lord, we just thank you for everything you've given us. We thank you for the power of testimony, Lord, the power of healing through telling our stories. We invite you into this space and feel your spirit with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So today, I would like to invite my friend and a colleague from the summer, Ariel Wagner, and her friend Brandy with us. I met Ariel while I was working in McDowell County this summer. We were both kind of based in the same building through different nonprofits. Ariel is the co-founder and is starting up a cross-country campaign called Miles for Survivors. She's helping women who've been trafficked or otherwise sexually exploited. And she's here to share with us about what she's doing, and also we have Brandy. She is sharing her story herself. She is a survivor. So I'd like to welcome them.
Howdy, y'all. Just kidding. I know. I shouldn't talk like that. Hey, Ariel here from Zara House. I am director and co-founder of this organization, and I am so excited to share with you everything we have going on. My dog and I are about to embark on a cross-country adventure. We are going on the Zara House cross-country campaign titled Miles for Survivors. We are stopping at different locations all over the country to share about human trafficking and sexual exploitation, the horrific epidemic that plagues our country and world. We're also excited to share about Zara House and everything we have going on here. Our goal is to raise $40,000. And as you can see, we have a lot of work to do. That $40,000 is gonna go into this house. We believe that creating a safe place for women to live, heal, and grow is a small yet vital piece in the massive puzzle to fight the exploitation of human beings. Our hope is to provide a safe, self-sustainable family environment for a select group of single women that desire to escape the injustice of human trafficking. We would like to turn this house into a home full of life, opportunities, and ultimately a shining light in the community. We believe it is possible to positively transform our survivors by assisting them through intensive trauma counseling and encouraging life skills so they don't return into exploitation. We are asking you for your help. We are asking for you to join us in this fight, to partner alongside of us. Share this with your friends and family. We are on Facebook. We are on Instagram. Give us a like, give us a follow, and visit our website, zarahouse.org. We are so excited, again, about everything we have going on. We are excited to open our doors to these survivors. We're going to come through and learn about the love, hope, and grace of our Heavenly Father. We look forward to meeting you on the road. We look forward to hearing from you. And we thank you so much for all of your help.
Hi, guys. My name is Brandy. I'm from Royal Appalachia. I'm actually on the Virginia side of West Virginia from a coal camp. Just tell you a little bit about what I do now. I work with a group called Treasures, which is a part of Celebrate Recovery's human trafficking initiative. What we do at Treasures, just to kind of give you a little rundown, we recognize, as you said earlier about sharing our stories, that stories are powerful. Stories humanize the woman on the other end of the dollar. Recognizing her humanity makes it difficult to sexualize and objectify her. Stories reveal the brokenness that lies behind the sex industry's facade of glamour. Seeing her pain ignites compassion in our hearts. Story illustrates the capacity to overcome. Her triumph demonstrates what is possible in our own lives when we engage Jesus in our circumstances. She is your daughter, your friend, your sister, your neighbor, and your wife. Maybe she is you. These are her stories. So, I've only got 10 minutes here. When I was 14 years old, I was sexually abused by my father. I was held at gunpoint, tied up, raped. He told me the night of the attack that he was doing this to me to get up the nerve to kill himself. And so a year later, the morning of his sentencing for the crime of my abuse, he killed himself. And my grandmother told me that had I not told what my father did, he would still be alive. So I went my entire life until about 2 years ago, I thought I killed him. So I began working. Basically, I was homeless after that, and I was just bounced around. I began working in the sex industry at the age of 17. I was hired as an exotic dancer. I wasn't even old enough to be inside the club, but I was hired on the spot. My job interview consisted of giving a lap dance to the owner. And I was hired on the spot. So I worked in there for a couple years. I was from, you know, rural Appalachia. I didn't know what the word human trafficking, I didn't even know what that meant. I didn't understand what was going on. eventually, as an adult, you know, I got away. I had children, was in these terrible abusive relationships. It was the only thing that I knew. So years later, I was sexually abused once again by a member of my husband's family, my then-time husband, my father-in-law. So the assaults went on for about 6 months. I became pregnant. Just every bad possible thing that you could imagine. I had a miscarriage, and 2 days after the procedure, he assaulted me again. So I left, but this time I was 31 years old and had 2 children. And I began again working in the same strip club that I worked in when I was a teenager. So I quickly, the owner of the club quickly, the second night that I worked, it was a new owner at this point, he came in and pulled me to the side, and he told me, he found out, you know, my circumstances, and he decided that I was his woman and that he was going to, you know, take care of me. So he had him, like, sneak me out the back of the strip club in his big SUV, I don't even know what he was driving, and put me in an apartment, and he paid all the bills. Like, he wouldn't even allow me in the clubs to dance at that point. He gave me an allowance. You know, I didn't even understand the control of, you know, what he was doing. So eventually, when I didn't do everything that he wanted, he would keep me on conference calls telling me that I was white trash, that I needed to know my role, you know, just all this, like, horrible manipulation. So I had no idea what was even going on. So now this man actually owns all the strip clubs between West Virginia, where we live, to South Carolina. It's the same person. And he has so many, you know, women out there. These women, I'm free now, but there's still so many women that are out there that he does this to. So eventually, you know, I wasn't even sure that God existed. I had always heard my whole life that God loves you like a father. I didn't know what that meant. So when people would tell me that, I would just say, I don't want any part of that. It was just a turnoff for me. So eventually, with everything that happened, of course, I struggled with drug addiction. I began using IV opiates when I was 15. After my father passed away, I would go lay on his grave at night and sleep. Like, I would get high and lay there, and nobody would even come look for me. So I struggled with addiction throughout the whole of my career with the sex industry. So eventually, I ended up getting in trouble, which sounds like a terrible thing, but it was so good. I got from one night of running around with the wrong people while I was a dancer, I've managed to rack up 3 felonies and 4 misdemeanor possession charges from one night. So I'd never been in trouble, but I ended up spending 3 months in the regional jail in Beckley. So it was there, behind bars, that God intervened. There was an inmate, and it was so crazy because she was actually in there for killing a preacher. So she was a young girl, beautiful girl, and young black girl, just beautiful girl, and had this most, like, sweet smile, you know, and they're like, she's in here for murder. And I'm like, what? You know, I was in there for possession. So anyway, I was scared of her. And she would have Bible study every evening at lockdown in the pod. And she would invite us. And I'm like, I am not going to Bible study. What does she know about God? She killed a preacher. You know, like, I was in my flesh, and I was totally judging. And so I went one night, and we were sitting on the concrete floor of the jail. And she said to me, I know you've heard your whole life that God loves you like a father. And I'm like, what? She said, but I'm here to tell you that God loves you like you love your own children. No matter what you do, how many times you do it, how bad it is, he loves you anyway. And so for the first time, I felt that perfect love of a father. And, you know, that was my, what it took. They call it jailhouse religion, but it stuck. So that was my transformation. Now, once I was released, I went into a Pentecostal church. So it was said that I went straight from the pole to the pew. I was in church four nights a week, every Tuesday morning for prayer service. Like, I couldn't get enough of my newfound love of God. So I ended up last year being sent to a, well, it's in the shower. I do my best thinking in the shower. And God gave me a vision for a ministry. It's called Heaven on Heels, and that is the name of my ministry. Last May, I went to a conference. It was an international human trafficking global conference. It was in Wisconsin, Green Lake, Wisconsin. And I got to network with all these just wonderful organizations like Nightlife International. I mean, there was countries from everywhere, Bangkok, China, South Africa. Just there was people there that were Swahili. I don't even know what that is. They were speaking, and they all told me I had an accent. They just called me West Virginia. And I'm like, you speak Swahili. But anyway, so I got to meet all these cool people, and Treasures was there. They're actually from LA, so I got to network with them. What we do at Treasures, the core message is that you are loved, valued, and purposed. Because we believe that once a woman has a revelation of that, it's hard for her to live in a way that contradicts that. So just some quick stats that we want to go over. 90% of the women in the sex industry were sexually abused as children. 90%. So that is just a staggering, you know, that's, it's, I didn't know until I began church what we refer to as a generational curse. These things just keep going. So somebody has to step in and stop that cycle. Somebody has to come in. When women in the industry are interviewed, 78% of them, when asked what they need, 78%, you know, to get out, 78% respond, a home. So they stay because they think there's no other way. They want out, but they're trapped. So that is what we're here for. That is what we're hoping to raise awareness. I don't know where she came from, but I'd been praying. I thought I was the only one around that had a heart for this. And, you know, I was with the girls. They're from LA. They have all these other organizations and things, places that they can send their women. And we have nowhere here in Appalachia, in West Virginia. So there she is. So thank you, guys.
All right, so my slideshow is in front of me instead of behind me. I apologize. Technical difficulty. Thank you, Brandy. So I'm Arielle. I'm co-founder and director of Zara House. Zara House is in West Virginia. So first, I just want to touch on commercial sexual exploitation. I'm just going to read you the definition that is on the Exodus Cry website. So commercial sexual exploitation, it's in many ways synonymous with sex trafficking and includes all forms of sexual exploitation for profit, including escort, street and brothel prostitution, as well as pornography and stripping. Anytime payment is exchanged for some kind of sexual objectification of another person, it's considered CSC. And I just wanted to touch on that because I do believe that a lot of people don't consider like women dancing or in porn as a form of trafficking, but it very much is. So these women, men, and children do suffer from some of the highest forms of PTSD, shame, and ultimately becoming stagnant in society. So that is why we have started Zara House. We have partnered with many organizations all over the country working towards the same goal, and that is to aid in the healing process of these survivors. Zara means seed in Hebrew. We want to plant seeds into the hearts and souls of our women so they are equipped to walk out the purposes of their lives. So candidates for Zara House would be women who are 18 and over. Not that we won't have minors in the future, just as we are starting out. We want to just concentrate on women who are 18 and over. If you're just opening up a whole new can of worms when you're working with minor children, having to go through a custody process and all of that. Our women need to be female. They have to be willing participants. They do go through an interview process. They go through a 30-day orientation just to see if they are going to be a good fit for our home. Most likely, our women will be coming from a rescue home. So Brandy does more street ministry. So she actually goes to the track. She goes to the strip clubs, and she is hands-on with the women, letting them know that they do have an option to get out if they'd like. And from there, they would go into what you call like a rescue home. Rescue home is where, you know, a place where they're going to start coming off of their drugs, give them shelter, and then from there, they're placed into a long-term program, which is where Zara House would come in. So, and of course, our women do have to be sexually exploited. That is the purpose of Zara House. We are not a drug rehab. We are just working with women who have been traumatized sexually. So we will host 4 to 5 women in a year-long journey, learning to live on their own with supervision and mentoring. They will follow a daily schedule. Our residents will graduate in phases, adding privileges once we see progress. They are going to be volunteering. They're going to be in work programs, learning trades if desired. You know, that's a big thing. Right here locally, I just met with Sabrina yesterday, thanks to some connections. She has a store. It's called, New Creation. Thank you. New Creation. And in there, she has a bunch of fair trade items being handmade by women, men all over the world. And they are an awesome organization. I suggest you check them out. But ultimately, it's women, men learning trades so that they are, so they stay out of the trafficking industry. So check her out. That's awesome. Schooling and GED, in a lot of cases, our women may not have even graduated high school, so they will be going through a GED class, and we would help them graduate. What's awesome about our home is we have a gardening and sustainable, holistic therapy lifestyle. That's what makes our program so unique. So, of course, Zara Seed in Hebrew, planting seeds into their hearts and souls, but we're also planting seeds into the ground. So these girls are going to plant seeds, watch grow, produce fruit, and just have that feeling of accomplishment. And we all know the therapy that's involved when you get your hands dirty. Am I right? Okay. They will definitely be going through individual and group therapy by professional counselors, participate in church and Bible classes, learn team building. I'm big into the outdoors, so I'm not afraid to have some of our girls hiking over the mountain, all over the mountains of West Virginia. I'm sure that will be an adjustment period from concrete jungle to the mountains. We will provide post-abortion counseling. Our residents will learn to cook, clean, and have daily chores. Of course, in some cases, survivors who are abused as young children, you just heard that staggering statistic, 90% were sexually abused as children. They remain the same age emotionally from when the trauma occurred. So sometimes they're just so stuck. They don't even know simple things like brush your teeth, wash your hair, you know, clean yourself. So the dream is to have a house in the mountains, a safe refuge for women, land to garden, horticultural therapies, to live sustainably, removed from the city, provide opportunity for survivors, most importantly, a place where survivors can come heal through the love, hope, and grace of our loving Father in heaven. So I'm currently traveling the country. You guys are my first stop, Harrisonburg, Virginia. And I'm so glad Brandy got to join me on this. This is her one and only, like, with me on this trip. So what an honor to have her and to share her story. So all money raised will fund into opening our doors in West Virginia. You saw the house. It's kind of a mess, but it's getting there. We have a target opening date of October 2018. Our first task is to prepare for opening, which includes completing several renovations in the house to make it safe, equipped, and an ideal home to launch for 4 to 5 women. In order to complete these projects to launch our program, we need financial support and strong partnerships. We are a nonprofit, so we are 100% privately funded. That is how we operate. So how can you help? spread awareness. When you see something, say something. College campuses are a big place where trafficking is taking place. You can contact the police. There's a human trafficking hotline number that you can call. Again, I'd rather you see something and say something than not say anything at all. I'd rather, you know, if it were something versus not. Am I making sense? So also, you can please share Zara House with your family and friends. Partnership and giving, again, that is a way you can help. We, you know, that's how we thrive. That's how we're able to do what we do. And we, of course, welcome all to come and help with the property. Those who desire to have a hand in the preparations of opening the house, we always are welcoming volunteers, groups to come and help build gardens. We got chickens, we got bee boxes, all that fun stuff as part of our sustainable living. So, also, we are in the process of hiring staff. So if you know of anybody interested working close with girls, this demographic, girls, you know, the brokenness, you can help spread the word on that. We are, like I said, we're starting the hiring process. I did touch on Sabrina, New Creation. That's what I wanted to just to touch base on. So there is that local organization here for you guys if that's something you want to get involved with. I, again, recommend you go and say, hey, she's awesome, and she has so much knowledge, too, about what's going on. If this is something that has struck a chord with you, go see Sabrina. So, famous abolitionist William Wilberforce once said, "You may choose to look the other way, but you can never say that you did not know." So now that you have this information, what are you going to do with it, knowing that this is going on? Again, there's the human trafficking hotline that I definitely recommend. On our website, zarahouse.org, I have all of my personal favorite resources, great websites that are just loaded with all sorts of information about trafficking, statistics, what's going on. So I recommend that you take a look at that. On the Treasurer's website, there is a video you can go to. It's called How to Be a Pimp. And what it does is it kind of takes you through everything Maslow's hierarchy of needs. So, like, they know you need food and shelter. So that's going to be one of their first ways to lure the girl, is to say, oh, I'll give you food. You need shelter. I'll take you in. You know, they groom them for about a 3-week period, and then they tell them they're a pimp, and next thing you know, that they're being sold. So it's that's all that kind of stuff that goes on. So that's about it. Thank you so much for having us. We're going to be in the Common Grounds after with some Zara House gear and more information for more of a meet and greet. If you want to talk and come say hey, we would love to meet you. Thank you.
Like she said, Arielle will be in Common Grounds. If anyone wants to come say hey, Gaz will close us in worship. Thanks for coming. God, I'll run into your arms.
your